This is Changing Your World with Creflo and Taffy Dollar, bringing you the Word of God with simplicity and understanding. Now listen to the Word of God and watch it change your life.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. And when you get to Ephesians chapter 2, let's look at verse 8. You look at things in your life and maybe the world wants to try to convince you that it's all over. It's not over, ladies and gentlemen, until God says it's over, and He's not said that. I don't want you to look at yourself and say, well, I'm no good and I'm just defeated and I, you know, no. You're everything God says you are. You're more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. You're the head and not the tail. You're above only and never again beneath. God is not a God that'll lie to you. And if certain things have not taken place, it's not because of God. Maybe it's because of what we have failed to understand in executing what Jesus has already made ready for us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. And let's read verse 8 and verse 9 out loud together. Ready? Read. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now notice he says that your salvation is a gift from God. Your salvation is a gift. That for by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved. Now, the Amplified says this, for it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor. And of course, if grace is not free, then it's not grace. Please understand what he's trying to show us here is that your salvation did not come by any effort of your own. That you're not saved today by any effort of your own. That your salvation came as a result of unearned and unmerited favor. That's what grace literally is. Grace is literally unmerited favor. It's the fact that you're saved because God did a favor for us. That God saw what happened, that men were deceived in the garden and things took place. And God says, let me do a favor and save them without them doing anything to deserve or to earn what I'm doing. I am going to give them a free gift called salvation. Now, one of the reasons why we must not boast about it, because you didn't have anything to do with it. Listen to this in the Amplified. That you are saved, you are delivered from judgment, and you're made a partaker with Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves. It is not of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do. Your salvation is not a result of what anybody could possibly do. You couldn't possibly do anything to earn the right to be saved or to be delivered from judgment or to be a partaker of Christ. There was nothing you and I could even, it's not even possible for us to do something to be able to say we deserved it, we earned it, we worked for it. He said, but as a free gift, as something that I did as a favor because I love you, you will never be able to brag or to boast about how wonderful you are. You'll never be able to have pride in yourself or to take glory in yourself for being saved. Nobody in this building this morning will ever be able to stand up before a crowd of people and say, I'm saved because of what I did or what I didn't do or because I did that or because I got. No. Nothing you could possibly do would position you to be able to boast about how you deserved and earned salvation. It was free gift. It was unearned. It was something that you could not possibly get a hold of. And so we know salvation is also healing. Nothing you could do to possibly deserve to have healing made ready for you. Nothing you could have done to possibly deserve to be delivered and have deliverance to be a finished work for you. Nothing you could have possibly done to do this, but it all came by grace. That everything that we have all came by grace is unmerited favor. You have everything you need to live a life that pleases God. Everything that you need to live this life, it all came by grace. But now notice something. Even though grace has made all of this available to you that you don't deserve, you can't take possession of it without faith. It's going to require faith to take possession of the gifts. It's going to require faith to take possession of all of the favor that God has done. And without faith, everything that God's made ready for you, you didn't earn it. You didn't work for it, but he's made healing ready for you. He made deliverance ready for you. He made prosperity ready for you. He made soundness ready for you. He saved you. He made it all ready. But without faith, you cannot get a hold of anything that God has made ready. All of the provisions that Jesus has made ready, all of his finished works cannot be in your possession unless you do it by faith. Faith is the hook that gets a hold of every favor and earthly blessing and transfers it into this physical place where it is manifested in your life, where you can see it. Faith, just the fact that I believe that it is ready. I believe that it is done. I believe that Jesus did it. That's how you take a hold of the favors that you didn't even earn. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Flip over there. 2 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse 3. Hallelujah. Everything's been made ready. Everything you can think about has been made ready. Everything you need in this life has been made ready. Everything you lack has been made ready. Has been made ready. Well, Pastor, I'm still believing for a husband. Your husband been made ready. Your wife been made ready. There is nothing you can think of on this earth that God Almighty hadn't already made ready. It is God's character not to ever put man in a position where there are unfinished works. That's why Adam was not put on the earth, hallelujah, the second day, because the earth wasn't ready for Adam. Adam and Eve did not take, listen, Adam didn't get on this earth. God did not make man until everything was made ready on the earth. Everything he ever needed was already made ready. Now, why in the world then would he put you here on the earth and everything that you need wasn't made ready? It's already been made ready. It is finished. It is done. It is complete. But we've got to learn how to use our faith to go fishing and to pull out of that unseen realm the provisions that have already been finished. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let's read verse 3 out loud together. Ready? Read. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now notice in verse 3. According as his divine power. This divine power is called grace. The grace of God. The divine power of God. This divine power hath given unto us how many things? How many things? And now, if grace has given unto us all things, is there anything left to be given? All right, he's given unto us all things that pertain to what? To life and to what? So he's given you everything you need that will deal with your life and everything you need to deal with living a godly life. So you can't go around talking about, well, I'm trying to get delivered, but I can't. No, he's giving you what you need to get delivered. Well, I'm trying to be set free, but I can't. No, he's giving you everything you need to be set free. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm still drinking liquor. I'm trying to get out of it. No, God has provided every avenue necessary to get you free so you can live a godly life. It is never going to be so bad that the devil is so tough that you can't live a godly life, because through this grace, you have everything you need to live a godly life. Don't tell me you are living. Listen, you know, I'm under the grace of God, even though I'm living an ungodly life. No, that's not true. No. Well, I'm sinning over and over and over again, but I got the grace of God. No, because when you have the grace of God, the Bible says that when you are under grace, sin has no dominion over you. You can't go around boasting about I'm sinning, but I'm under grace. No, when you're under grace, hallelujah, the grace of God says we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace. Therefore, sin will not have dominion over you. If you're being dominated by sin, you're not under grace. I said, if you're being dominated by sin, you're not under grace, because the grace of God. Listen, the grace of God has provided everything you need to live godly. And if you'll release your faith for that provision to live godly, hallelujah, your faith will bring over into this natural world the manifestation of the deliverance of what you need. But you can't say, well, I'm under grace, but you won't release your faith to get what grace has provided for you, so you don't have to live the way you live. If you're under grace, then you'll release your faith to get that grace, which is everything necessary to live a godly life. Everything necessary not to cuss and fuss. Everything necessary not to wine and dine and act like a fool. See, you can walk around in sin and say, oh, but praise the Lord, at least I'm under grace. When grace shows up in your life, the answer to your situation is manifested in your life, and you don't live life like you used to live. Well, Brother Dollar, I'll just go see the therapist. You can do that. There's nothing wrong with that. However, God says, I already got what you and the therapist trying to figure out. Release your faith and believe, and so it can come and show up in your life. We're always going to the world to try to help us to give. We go to the world to try to get the world to help us to get an answer. And that answer has already been made ready by Jesus. That answer is already finished. That answer has already been provided. And see, God's wanting you to trust that whatever you lack and whatever you need, He's already provided it for you. He just needs you to lose your faith and say, I just believe that God is my answer. I believe God's my way out. I believe God's my way in. I believe God's going to do this. He's waiting on some people to stand up in front of some worldly folks with their education and say to them, even though you're educated towards the world, and even though I didn't even get out of elementary school, I believe God is well able to take care of this situation in my life. Excuse me. And while they call you a fool, your faith will be fishing into manifestation. God's looking for some real Christians to stand up and say, Jesus has done it all. Now, let's go to Titus chapter 2. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus did it all. So the scripture says this divine power has provided everything we need for life and godliness. Provided everything we need for life and godliness. Now notice something in Titus chapter 2 verse 11. Read verse 11 out loud together. Ready? Read. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. All right, if we're reading this correctly, salvation has been made available to every human being on the planet. Remember Jesus, John 1, Jesus, the Bible says Jesus came to save the world from their sins. Jesus came to save the whole world from their sin. Titus 2 and 11 says this salvation has been made available to the whole world. Question, if salvation has been made available to the whole world, how come the whole world is not saved? Think about it. If salvation has been made available to the whole world, has salvation been made available to the whole world?
Yes.
Then how come the whole world's not saved? I'm gonna go further than that. Healing has been made available to everybody in the world. Deliverance has been made available to everybody in the whole world. Prosperity has been made available to everybody in the whole world. We Christians get this idea, well, we're in church. It's just been made available for us. No. And see, the sad part about that is that you are the church and you still don't know how to get what has already been made available to you. You got salvation. When you got salvation, the same way you got saved, it's the same way you get healed, it's the same way you get delivered, and the same way you get your bills paid. How come salvation's been made available to the whole world, but they hadn't taken it yet? Because it takes faith to get it, doesn't it? The difference between you, who salvation was made available to, and the unsaved world who salvation was made available to, is you believed it enough to receive it by faith. And what happened? And you took it. The world says, oh, I heard that before, that church stuff before, but I don't believe it enough to receive it by faith. All right, now listen to me. How many of you got saved one day? Put your hands down. Just think. How'd you get it? Huh? You believed it by faith, right? All right, let me ask you something. Let me just use myself for example. I got saved. I was still acting stupid. Was I not saved? No. What happened was I believed that I received salvation, and by salvation started manifesting itself on me. Now, I didn't quit and say, well, it didn't work. I believe I got saved by faith and I'm still acting stupid. Stupid gonna leave, because once you receive what grace has given you by faith, eventually stupid has an expiration date, and stupid gonna start disappearing, because what you have pulled over into your physical life, salvation that you receive, is now gonna start the metamorphic change on your life. And you're going to look up one day and stupid won't be there no more. You remember what Forrest Gump said? Stupid is as stupid does. But when salvation gets on you, stupid won't be no more, because stupid ain't going to be doing no more, because the grace of God has pulled something over here that has started manifesting against your stupid, and a metamorphic change takes place. And you look up one day and you now see what you believe by faith. You weren't perfect the day you got saved. You weren't perfect the day you received your salvation. Some of you still did some of the same things. Looked at my hands looked new. No, they didn't. Looked at my feet, they did too. No, it wasn't. But by faith, you said, I believe Jesus has saved me, and so by faith I received that. And you wouldn't let nobody steal your faith. And the devil kept coming, talking to you. You ain't saved. And the devil kept saying, if you were saved, why you doing that? And the devil kept saying, how you gonna call yourself saved and you still doing that? And you just stayed with your salvation. And then when you just did the stupidest thing, and you think, I just can't be saved after doing that. But then you convinced, no, I know I'm saved. I know Jesus came into my heart. I know Jesus said, you wouldn't let go of it. And because you wouldn't let go of it, look at where you are today. You're seated. And the stuff you used to do, you don't do no more. Hallelujah. You received it. That same type of tenacity, that same type of doggonedness that says, I'm not going to be moved by what I see and what I do. I believe I'm saved. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to stay with it. I'm not going to let it go. And you begin to see the physical invasion of something that was in the spirit realm. That's how you did it. Now that works with everything. That works with everything. Grace has provided and faith goes to get it. Grace has provided and faith goes to get it. It's available to the whole world. It's available to the whole world. And here's what we're supposed to be preaching. We're supposed to go tell the whole world salvation is available. Come on home. We're not supposed to go to the whole world and say, look at you, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And how you gonna do that when you know you did that same thing they were doing and you did it worse than what they did it? No, your job is not to show up and judge people for what they're doing. Your job is to show up and to say to them, no matter what it looked like to you, salvation is available to you. I remember when I was doing the same stupid stuff you were doing, and somebody convinced me to believe that I'm saved, and I gave my heart to Jesus, and he moved on the inside. It didn't seem like nothing happened that day, but oh, my walk began to change. The things I used to do, all of a sudden there was a caution about it. All of a sudden I was bothered where I wasn't bothered before. All of a sudden I was being messed with where I wasn't. All of a sudden I started thinking double time on something that I didn't think no time about before. Why? Because my faith would not let go of the salvation that Jesus had made ready for me, and it began to manifest itself in my life. How many of you know you're saved today? That's amazing. Some of the hands didn't go up because, see, you're still thinking that your sin has robbed you of what you received by faith. You saved, baby. If you were to die right now, you'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you won't let go, the metamorphosis will take place in your life and you'll change. All right? Now, Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. Flip over there. Romans chapter 5 and 2. All right, look at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, that word justified means declared righteous. You were declared righteous by faith. So by faith, you received your righteousness that had yet manifested. By faith, you received your righteousness that you hadn't seen yet, or you couldn't see yet. You received your righteousness by faith before you saw your righteousness. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. By whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How do you access the grace of God? It's not a guess question. Look at the scripture I just read in verse 2, and I'm going to ask you that question again. You don't even have to guess about this. Look at the scripture in verse 2, and I'm going to ask you, how do you access the grace of God? And by looking at verse 2, how do you access the grace of God? How do you access salvation? How do you access deliverance? How do you access healing? How do you access prosperity? How do you access your job? How do you access a wife? How do you access a good wife? How do you access a husband? How do you access a husband with a job? The Amplified Bible says, through him also we have our access, we have our entrance, we have our introduction by faith into this grace, into this favor. Through faith, we can access this favor. Through faith, we can access this favor in which we firmly and safely stand, and let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. The glory of God is manifested word. And he says, here's our hope. We can access this grace by faith and enjoy manifested word. But it's going to require faith to access everything that has been made ready, everything that that God has finished, Jesus has finished. Faith cometh by how?
Hearing.
And hearing by what? How do you know that? Where does it say it? Where? Somebody said, I don't know. And then everybody else said, the Bible. Where about in the Bible? Somebody said, well, that's what we hear. You the preacher, you tell us where it is. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. That's why we came here. You tell us, not for us to tell you. You the preacher, don't you know where it is? I need to find another church then. You tell me what that. Romans 10, 17. Verse 17. Let's read 17 out loud together. Ready, read. So then, by and faith cometh how? And hearing what? So faith cometh by the word of God. The word of God will produce faith, and faith will give you access into this grace. So when you get full of the word, you get full of faith. I said, when you get full of the word, you get full of faith. Everything has been done, ladies and gentlemen. Everything we struggle to try to get, everything we press our way to try to get, it has already been done. You have no access, you have no entrance into the finished works of Jesus unless you do it by faith. So what you got to do, you got to learn how to grow your faith. You got to grow your faith like you grow collard greens, or like some of you used to grow weed. You got to grow your faith. And you know, in growing your faith, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some stuff you're doing. Now, I know we're talking about not self-effort. See, what I'm talking about when I say self-effort, I'm talking about effort that depends on your works as the source versus efforts that depend on God as the source. God is our source. And our efforts are always going to be faith efforts. It's going to always be doing what's necessary to release our faith. You have entrance into everything that's been finished for you by faith. And you can't get no faith until you get some word. That means, as a Christian, if you don't know what the word says, you don't know what you do. You don't even know what to believe. Because you won't read the word. I'm saved. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, what did the Bible say? I don't know. Go ask Pastor Dollar. No. No, you can't get access through my faith. Everybody has his own access card. And you only going to gain access through your faith, which means no word, no faith. You're going to have to get the word of God even to know what to believe. I mean, how do I know healing's been made available to me? The word says. How do I know that salvation's been made available to me? The word says. How do I know that finances are made available? The word says it. I can only believe what the word says in order to have access with my faith to get a hold of what the word says. By faith, I can access it. By faith, I can access it. By faith, I can access it. Y'all just don't understand what I'm going through, no man. It's hard out there.
Yeah, it's going to keep being hard because you're trying to do everything in the world's way, and God's already made it ready, but you've got to get the access codes, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that because you don't think that's necessary. I don't think it requires all that. God already know what I need. God know my heart. I was drinking like a fool last night and smoking weed and having sex, but you can't judge me. God know my heart. If I see an apple on an apple tree, I can judge very effectively that is an apple tree. See, what we like to do is complain about how hard it is. What we'd like to do is go around and just over and over and over again. You know those kind of people you talk to, and from the time you sit down talking to them, all they talking about is just drama. And then they want to sit after that talking about, I ain't got no friends. It's a wonder the angel's still there, because you murmur and you complain all the time about how bad it is, but you won't do nothing to make a change. Insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results. And you can't expect something different to happen because you ain't doing nothing different. And when you ain't doing nothing different, don't nothing different happen, including your complaining. Hey, how you doing? Well, you really want to know? What does Christmas mean to you? Well, it really don't mean nothing to me because I ain't got no money and I can't afford to do nothing. And, you know, I know it ain't like that with you, trying to make you feel guilty. I know that ain't like that with you because, you know, everything work out fine with you because the Lord loves you. And y'all church folk act like the way y'all act like. And that's why I don't like hanging around church folk. Don't be getting mad at church folk because of your wrong decisions to want to do what's necessary to get the God that blessed the church folks. He can bless your folk if you do what you're supposed to do. But don't expect for God to do for you the way he do for somebody else when you don't do what you need to do. So you can find excuses all day long. Excuses are nothing but nails used to build houses of failure. You can find excuses all day long, but ain't none gonna change until you get yourself in the word and learn how to listen to some CDs and read some scripture and figure out what this code book called the Bible is all about so you can reign and rule in this world. because God wants you to reign. God wants you to rule. God wants you to overcome in this world, and you can't do it thinking like the world, acting like the world, and being. There's got to be a difference between the light and the darkness. Honey, darkness is consistent. It will continue to just come at you. Darkness ain't gonna ever give up. Hallelujah. Darkness just gonna stay there all the time, all the time, all the time. 30 years can go by. You can live perfectly, and darkness still gonna be trying to get you to do something. And I'm telling you right now, you got to make your mind up. Today is my day where I'm going to walk differently, and I'm going to do it according to God's word, because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of my mama and them always talking to me about stuff I need to do. I'm sick and tired of being broke. I'm sick and tired of being hungry. I'm sick and tired of being lonely. I'm sick and tired of being depressed. I'm sick and tired of not having a job. I'm sick and tired of not being able to get no clothes. I'm sick and tired of being depressed on Christmas. I'm sick and tired of not having nobody that loves me. I'm sick and tired of crying. I'm sick and tired of all the stuff. I'm just sick and tired. Well, Jesus has a grace that can handle all your sick and tired. Jesus has a grace that can deal with all your sick and tired. Kirabasikangela brosa kalalabasa. Okay. Okay, I hear what you're saying, Pastor. I'm gonna get in the word, and I'm gonna believe it, and I'm gonna have faith, and I'm gonna receive it. All right, now watch this now. And this is really the message, and I'll pick up with it later on. I'm just trying to get your attention, because some of y'all ain't been coming to church like I asked you to while I was gone. So I'm catching up. You coming here like you've been here for the last 2 months. Ain't nobody been in that balcony since I left. Up there cheesing. Well, praise the Lord. Up there in the back, hey, Pastor, welcome back. You too, welcome back. All right, now here's the sermon, and I'm gonna close and let you go, and we'll pick up with this and do what we gotta do. All right, now check this out now. Something I learned, so valuable. What if now you do exactly what I just said? You get in the word, you read the word, because I prayed the last 2 months, God, give me clarity. It hurts me when I see people doing everything they know to do and they still come up short. Now, I'm gonna tell you this, and then next week I'll teach it. But I wanna just talk to you through, I wanna talk this thing through with you. What if you have faith? You have faith. And it still didn't manifest. Anybody ever did that? Oh, yeah. The whole church. Before I left, I started to bring a picture. I had a pretty big polyp in between my vocal cords, my vocal folds. And when I would be preaching, you would sometimes hear me kind of gasp to get over it or go into a high note or something like that. Well, I know how to get healed because I've gotten healed in the past of lots of different things. I go to the word, I feed on the word, I call those things that be not as though they were. I believe I receive it, I walk around like it's so. That's why I was preaching. Now I learned of this vocal cord in January, around January of 2012. And I released my faith. I said, it's just a polyp. I mean, God's healed me of a lot of serious things, but the polyp, this ain't gonna be no problem here. But I found myself in the hospital on the operation table going through the operation because I was running out of time. I had to do something because, you know, I got to preach. Now, after the operation, I couldn't talk for 7 days. Let me tell you, that is so unnatural. That's not God at all. Think of that. Couldn't say a word for 7 days. Now, my wife might have enjoyed it, but I couldn't say nothing for 7 days. I got my iPhone and had to plug things in it, and it would say stuff like, hello, where is the food? But during those 7 days of quietness, that bothered me. I was like, what is it with this?
And the Lord began to give me clarity on why faith doesn't work. You remember in Matthew chapter 17, there was a situation of this lunatic. And the disciples had been given power to cast this demon out. It wasn't like it was the first time. They had already cast demons out before. But on this time, they would go to cast him out and he would not come out.
And then they looked at the boy and the boy still had the same manifestations. And Jesus came and he grew a little weary. He's like, I just don't understand. I told y'all I gave you my faith. And they're like, oh, Lord, we didn't have enough faith to cast him out. And Jesus kept saying, no, your problem's not your faith. All you need is a faith the size of a mustard seed to get the job done. The problem wasn't your faith. And so I began to look at that. I said, Lord, talk to me. What happened? I said, I had enough faith to get healed of this polyp. What happened? He said, the problem was not your faith. The problem was your unbelief. I said, what? I said, no, I had faith. He said, you had unbelief too. See, you can have unbelief and faith at the same time. You remember the guy who said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You can have faith and unbelief at the same time. You remember when Jesus said to Jairus' servant when he came and he said, your daughter is dead, don't bother the master anymore. You remember how Jesus said what he said? He said, only believe. The implication was that you can have belief and unbelief, but I want you to only by itself to only believe. I said, oh Lord. I said, but I had faith. Where was the unbelief?
Listen to me carefully. I'll teach on it later. When you have the care of the thing, the fear of the thing, the worry of the thing, and the doubt of the thing, it's evidence that you have unbelief. All right, now watch this carefully now. I said, Lord, I didn't have any fear of the thing.
I said, Lord, I wasn't worrying over it.
You know what the Lord said? He said, but you continue to give it attention. And that's where I figured out what happened. I didn't know about no polyp. So I researched polyp. I went on the internet and saw operations on polyp. I became a polyp expert. It stayed in my thought life. It continued to be aware in my attention.
Now watch this. So while my faith was trying to go over here to get my healing, because I continued to give it attention, unbelief kept my faith stranded in the same place. And Jesus said to those disciples, when they said, Lord, how come we couldn't cast them out? Here's what Jesus said, because of your unbelief. He's talking to guys who he had given power to. He's talking to guys who have cast out demons, a whole bunch of them already. He said, how come we couldn't cast this out? He said, it was your unbelief. They're like, where's our unbelief? He said, your natural unbelief showed up when that boy fell down and went through the same spitting up things, convulsions. And y'all said, look, it must not have worked. That came into your attention, and unbelief kept your faith stranded. How many times have you been believing God for something, but wouldn't release? Yes. But what if it didn't happen? You wouldn't let it go. It stayed in your attention. You kept kind of talking about it every night. You'd even talk about it and say, yeah, but I have faith. Uh-huh. Yeah, you got some unbelief too. Yeah, I don't know if this is going to work and everything, but you know, I believe that by his stripes I'm healed. Yeah, you have faith and unbelief, and it is the unbelief that's working like a weight to hold your faith back. How many years have Christians all in the body of Christ, they had the faith, but they also had the unbelief. And unbelief kept you from laying a hold of the provisions that God had already made ready for you. I said, oh God. And then he took me through some parts of my life. He says, I want to show you this. You remember when you wouldn't even let the television bill touch your thought? You wouldn't even let it touch your thought life. That every time it come up, you had something to say every time it would come up because you would refuse to let it touch your thought life. He said, what happened? I said, I saw manifestation. He said, will you ask me for more faith? No. The mustard seed faith I had got the job done. He said, you tell people, when I say attend to my word, I want your full attention. And when you give pieces of your attention to the thing that's holding you back and the thing that's working against you, then you have provided a resting place for both faith and unbelief. And you know what faith and unbelief do? They cancel one another out. It's like winning a football game when both teams get a penalty. It offsets the whole thing. So in the midst of that, something attacked my body. And now I knew what to do. I immediately said, okay, well, Lord, I release my faith for this and not give it attention. Just put it out of my mind. Don't even think about it. I don't even believe I said one time to Taffy what was going on. And in 24 hours, what my faith went to get was on me. See, God was trying to show me, see, that's what's been holding you back. Then as soon as that happened, there's some other things that came up. And now the whole challenge was, now that I knew that, Satan was not going to come and try to bombard my mind. I'm going to give you a little secret. There is no war going on in the spirit realm. Jesus won the war. Had a parade in the spirit realm to show everybody around that every demon and devil has been disarmed. You know where the battle is, ladies and gentlemen? In between your ears. What can Satan get you to give attention to? Because what you are giving your attention to is what's holding you back. You want to know what you're giving your attention to? Listen to what you talk about the most. That's what you're giving your attention to. And I mean to tell you, I got notes on Pollux. I got websites on Pollux. I got names of Pollock doctors. I saw the procedure, 2, 3, 4 procedure. In fact, I thought I could almost do it myself. That's what kept my faith from working. When you look at lack in your life, don't you let that thought of lack become a part of your thought life. Don't even let it touch your thought life. If somebody's hurt you and the pain of that hurt is tempting you not to forgive, don't even let it touch your thought life. Every time that person comes up, replace it with a scripture or something. Don't let it touch your thought life. We give attention to the wrong things, and it causes our mustard seed faith to be stranded in the same place we found it. And I saw it happening. I went back in to therapy. I had to go through vocal cord therapy. And the first session was all about my mind. And I never experienced anything like that. I thought I was pretty healthy in my mind. I had to tell my mind that there was nothing else wrong with my vocal cords. That it was fine. I could use it. But my mind was saying, no, you can't. And I was like, and I'm sitting up here and we're talking about this. I'm like, wow. She said, make a sound. And I'm like, oh. Huh. She said, no, don't listen to this. Mm-hmm. Then she took me, and I learned something. She took me through the dynamics of the anatomy of the throat and the vocal cords and what had happened, and showed me pictures of everything. And she said, now I'm telling you, it's fixed. It can do what you want it to do. I had to completely ignore what was in my mind to do what she said I could do. It's the same thing as the truth spiritually. It's called three things. I'll teach on it later. There is ignorance, there is unbelief, and then there is disbelief. Ignorance is just, you just don't know it. Unbelief is that you know it, but you don't believe it. But disbelief is a belief that came from wrong teaching, which is the hardest thing to get delivered from, because you have traditionalized it to such a point that when you hear the truth, you don't know if you want to let go of the lie, and that becomes hard to go against disbelief. And that's a lot of people that come to church. They heard something from their former church. It was wrong teaching. And so when I come here and I teach you the truth, you got to fight disbelief because you've traditionalized that this is how we've always taught this, and this is how we've always believed this. And this is just like what I just said, there's no war going on in the spirit. And yet you think, well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spirit. Yeah, that's what you're wrestling against, because that's what's coming against your mind. I'll give you another one that'll show you disbelief. When people say Jesus is interceding for us right now. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen to me. Jesus is not in heaven before God saying, Jesus is not doing that. An intercessor is one that stands between.
Amen.
And Jesus is forever making intercession for us because he is forever committed to standing between you and God.
Amen.
Letting all the earth know that you are in Jesus, and instead of looking at us, look at us through Jesus, and he will forever be our intercession, because everybody now will look at us through Jesus. It does not mean he's speaking in tongues before God. But if tradition taught you one thing, and then when the truth comes, disbelief becomes your enemy. And it causes your faith to be just stuck. And once I learned that, Sister Mary, I'm good to go. Once I learned that, I became the most dangerous man that hell ever knew. Everything that I went through this past year was to test grace. Most of the folks stayed with me, some of them left. There's some end of some stories I got to tell you that I wasn't privileged to tell everybody, but it's good to see how people respond. See, when you know a person, you got to know that no matter what you see, no matter what you hear, you know what you know about it. Because you feel real dumb when the whole truth comes out. You're like, oh, wow, I believe the lie. But the Lord showed me. He said, I wanted to see if you will allow grace to be sufficient in your life. And I read about Paul, and I'll close right now because y'all got to go. You remember in the book of Acts, when they shipwrecked on this island and a viper came out of the fire and bit Paul on the hand. Yes. You know, I want to encourage everybody to read the Bible every day, because it's through daily Bible reading that God can speak to you and he can change your life. Yes. And I was in my daily Bible reading and I was reading when Paul got bit with that viper. And the natives saw him. And they said, well, he probably deserved that. He's probably a murderer who should have died in the shipwreck, but he didn't die. So this is his just due. And the Bible says, but they kept looking at him. When he should have died instantly, he kept on living. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, son, this past year, you were bit by vipers. And some looked at you as if they said you deserved it. And some looked at you as if they said, oh, he gonna die anyway. He said, but the others who were looking at you that way now look and see that what was supposed to happen did not happen. And many of you have been bitten by a viper. Hallelujah. And I am telling you right now that, listen, no matter what people think supposed to happen to you, because of your faith in God, what is supposed to happen will not happen. The doctor said you're going to die of cancer, but it will not happen. The people said you'll never recover financially, and they thought it wasn't going to happen. But I'm going to tell you, you will recover. You will live. You will conquer all. Hallelujah. Just because it looked like you were supposed to die, doesn't mean you are going to die. The vipers can bite, but
let me calm down.
That's what this upcoming year is going to be about. That people are going to be shocked that what they thought was going to happen to you didn't happen to you. And then the glory of the Lord will be revealed in your life, in your house, in your finances, in your family. The glory of the Lord is going to be revealed.
But we got to deal with this unbelief. Jesus said the problem was unbelief. As Christians, we've got to learn how to only believe. Not believe and doubt, not believe and wonder, not believe and worry, not believe and be fearful, but only believe that all things are possible. If you only believe. Only believe. Only believe that all things are possible if you only believe. Only believe. Only believe that all things are possible if you only believe. Oh, hallelujah.